Happy New Year, and welcome to Clark Capital's quarterly economic and capital market review. I'm Kristen Fink, Director of Marketing Communications, filling in for Paddy Quinn-McCauley, who's out on maternity leave. Today, we're joined by two senior leaders of our client portfolio management team, Glenn Dorsey and Pete Eisenridge. Glenn and Pete will be walking us through our five economic indicators and their implications for the markets. So with that, Glenn, I'll turn it over to you to help get us started.
Thank you, Kristen, and thank you everyone for joining. As a reminder, these five gauges represent the major drivers of stock prices over time. If the gauge is straight up and down or at 12 o'clock, it's a neutral for our outlook. If it's to the right, it's a positive, and if it's to the left, it's a negative. We had three gauges change this quarter. Two of them improved, the monetary policy gauge and the interest rate gauge. One gauge went back two notches, which is the investor sentiment gauge. So, Pete, why don't you start us off with the economic gauge, which is one of the ones that didn't change.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn. Yeah, the economy gauge, we decided to keep that in a neutral position. We really see pretty similar conditions as we were ending last year, as we're going into 2024. You know, as we kind of came out last year, we were talking a lot about the job market. The job market really continued to show strength throughout 2023, and that did a lot of the heavy lifting for the economy during much of the year. We're still in a very strong job market situation. We have 3.7% unemployment. There's just under 9 million job openings, still millions of more jobs available than people looking for jobs. And remember, that is a core to our economy. Consumer spending is about 70% of our economy. We at Clark Capital, we're expecting about 2.25% GDP growth in 2024, right about where fourth quarter growth is expected to be when we look at the Atlanta GDP Now estimates. That's at about 2.2% for the fourth quarter of last year. So the economy, we're keeping in that neutral position. We do think the odds of that soft landing, those have increased. But I don't want to diminish, you know, there is still a reasonable possibility that we could have a recession in 2024. But with the Fed and what they're doing and the Fed kind of changing course, we do think those odds have dropped. We do think it'll likely be a soft landing. So kind of all that together, we decided to keep it in that neutral position. I don't know, Glenn, any comments you want to add on the economy?
Yeah, I think some of the warning signs that we've been talking about still exist, and they've existed for months at this point. Leading economic indicators have been turning down for over a year. That usually happens before a recession happens. We've had an inverted yield curve. That also typically precedes a recession. However, as Pete pointed out, you know, the labor market continues to be incredibly strong. The job openings, number of job openings has been coming down. The last read is, as Pete said, was just under 9 million at 8.8 million. But when you really look at it, you know, the hire rate is stayed fairly high. You know, we had 5.5 million hires in the last month. We had 5.3 million separations. And importantly, of those separations, 3.5 million of them were voluntary quits, right? So people left their job. They either retired or found another job that was better. So, you know, the labor market's been incredibly resilient. It kind of brings us to the next phase of our next gauge, which is, you know, our monetary policy gauge. You think about the Fed's dual mandate, right? They have two things they're responsible for. One is full employment. We've talked about that. We think that that's still very solid. And the other is price stability or reining in inflation. The Fed embarked on a pretty massive rate increase. They went from Fed funds rate at 0% to 5.25%. At this point, the last rate increase was July 26th. They had three meetings in a row where they've done nothing. And the indications are that they're feeling a little bit more comfortable that they've made progress on the inflation front. So our expectation is now that the rate hikes are done, and now we're moving into the rate cut phase. The market is pricing in through the Fed funds futures market somewhere between 5 and 6 rate cuts next year. The Fed, if you look at their dot plots, you know, they're saying more like 2 or 3. We think it maybe lives somewhere in between there, but with the headwind that we faced from the Fed with rising rates has dissipated, and we should start to catch a little bit of a tailwind from them as the year progresses. I think one of the key things that I'd like to mention before I turn it back to Pete is there's a lot of talk about the Fed's 2% target on inflation. They look at the core PCE. And if you look at the core PCE for the last 6 months, so May through November, That was up 1%. So we're tracking at that 2% rate. We're in line with the target, even though the year-over-year number is still above, you know, higher than that, right? So I think that the Fed is looking at that and saying, we've made a lot of progress, and they can probably take their foot off the brake pedal. But Pete, do you have anything to add?
So yeah, Glenn, I think good news on this gauge. I mean, this is one of the gauges we have moved back to neutral. So, you know, this has been for over a year in negative territory because of that rate tightening cycle that started March of 2022. So again, I think, you know, pretty meaningful that we've decided to move this to neutral. We do think the rate tightening cycle is over. Yeah, there's a little bit of difference right now with what the Fed is saying they might do with rate cuts next year and what the market is pricing in. But I think this is overall really good news. You know, we've really been fighting the Fed for much of the last couple of years, and that seems to have turned the corner with these recent moves where, again, as Glenn said, the last rate hike in July and the last three meetings, no action by the Fed. So quantitative tightening is still occurring. I think that's something we ought to keep an eye on. The Fed has shrunk their balance sheet by over $1 trillion. There's a little bit of tightening going on in the background with that quantitative tightening. But besides that, we do think this gauge should be in that neutral position. So with that, I'll move into valuation. So when we look at the stock market valuation, this is one we're keeping at neutral. So no change here. We're keeping this in a neutral position. A lot of nuances with the valuation side when we look at the market. We know that there has been large cap growth leadership for much of this year. Kind of the good news late in the year during the rally, smalls and mids started to rally in the last couple of months of the year as well. So when we look at the valuation of the market, we really need to kind of peel beneath the surface. We know those top 10 companies in the S&P 500 have a PE multiple of about 27 times earnings. If you look at the other 490 companies, we're at about 17.5 times earnings. We would say that's much more kind of in line with the historical averages on valuations. And we kind of dig beneath that. We know mids are a little bit cheaper than even the overall market, and small caps are even cheaper than mid caps right now. So within that market structure, we would say there are some opportunities from a valuation perspective. Probably a market that's not really cheap, not really expensive, but within the market, there are quite a bit of nuances. I think importantly is that E side. So the earnings is something we keep a close eye on. That's expected to grow about 9% for calendar year 2023. When we look at next year, the earnings expectation, these are operating earnings, it's supposed to be about 13% earnings growth. So yes, we know we've got a pretty good move in the stock market, but we have earnings are expected to grow as well over the next 12 months. So again, a good backdrop when we look at the fundamentals from that valuation perspective. Overall, when we put all that data together, we think it's kind of a neutrally valued stock market. I always like to say, as an active manager, we're very comfortable in a fairly valued stock market. And I think that's where we find ourselves as we move into 2024. Glenn, any comments or thoughts on the valuation front?
Yeah, I think given where we are with interest rates, the PE is pretty much in line for the overall market. As you pointed out, there are pockets of the market that are cheaper. You know, mid caps are trading at 15 plus times earnings. Small cap is trading around 14 plus times earnings. International is trading more like 12 times earnings. So, you know, there are opportunities that exist outside of just the headline S&P 500. And again, that seems to be relatively fairly valued. Investor sentiment is our next gauge. This is one we did move backwards two notches into the slow negative category. And remember, this is a contrarian indicator. So when this gauge is at a positive territory, that means there's a lot of bearishness or nervousness about the market, and vice versa. It kind of goes back in line with the Warren Buffett. You know, you want to be greedy when people are fearful and fearful when people are greedy. When we had this in a positive mode the last quarter, the market was still in the throes of the decline. You remember the S&P bottomed during October. And what we saw is at the peak, only about 24% of the people surveyed in the AAII survey were expected stocks to go up, and 50% expected to go down. So a lot of nervousness out there in the market. The VIX was trading in the low 20s during October. So that had a kind of a elevated level of fear as well. As the market rallied, and we had a strong rally in November and December. In fact, we had 9 weeks in a row where the S&P 500 was up. We saw the numbers basically flip-flop. So now you've got 49% of the people are bullish or expecting stocks to go up, and only about 25% think it's going to go down. So we've got a complete reversal in that, which is why we did move this gauge back into negative territory. Keep in mind that people can be bullish for a long time when stocks go up. We find that this is useful when optimism is too high. The real big value add is when people are overly pessimistic, which is where we had that gauge before. But Pete, anything to add to the investor sentiment?
Yeah, I just want to remind people, yeah, remember, this is a very sensitive gauge and is on that contrarian side. So yeah, we've had a good run in the market, right? So if there was a little bit of consolidation as we go into the early part of this year, that wouldn't be unexpected. But again, I think what I always tell people when I'm looking at this gauge is, remember, those first three gauges are where we spend a lot of time, right? We're really concerned about what is the economy doing? How is the Fed operating? Are they kind of a tailwind or a headwind to the economy? And what's going on with valuations? Are we able to find opportunities out there? Now, this sentiment gauge gives us a little bit of kind of that shorter term view on what we might see in the market. And yeah, the market is run, again, coming off of, you know, three straight months of declines, August, September, October, that bearishness built. Now we've had a couple of months of rallying. The bullishness is built. It just gives us a little bit of a cautionary light. This is kind of that flying analogy. Might be a little bit of turbulence here, but from that long-term perspective, we're still seeing some pretty good fundamentals out there when we look at the overall stock and bond markets. The final gauge is interest rates. This is another one that we did change. We improved to that neutral position. Often this will parallel what we're doing with monetary policy. Might be off on a quarter or two. They may not totally sync up, but this quarter it does. We really wanted to acknowledge the drop in rates that we had over the last couple of months. Remember, in October, we got close to 5% on the 10-year U.S. Treasury. That was the first time since prior to the credit crisis that we'd seen that 5% number on the 10-year treasury. And then, boy, did we have a rally in bonds, right? Bonds really rallied hard the last couple of months. We saw that drop. You know, the 10-year treasury ended the year below 3.9%. So a really big drop in interest rates. Remember, that kind of drops the cost of capital, tends to be a net positive for the economy when we're seeing those interest rates come down. So that's really what we saw in the last couple of months. I would say this, you know, yeah, obviously we're off those high levels in interest rates and yields, but we're still at elevated levels. This is still a really good opportunity to look at that bond side of the portfolio. And there are opportunities that we really haven't seen on the bond side for the last, you know, 15 or so years. So not like we've missed the boat on this when we've had those yields come down, but still elevated levels in interest rates, still opportunities when we look at that bond side of the portfolio. But we did want to neutralize this gauge, similar to the monetary policy, with the Fed likely being done with this rate hike cycle. We think that the trend will be likely for rates to move lower, but we had a big part of that move lower in the last couple of months. So we're keeping a close eye on where interest rates are. Glenn, any comments on the interest rate side?
Yeah, I mean, the interest rates got a lot more attention than they typically do over the last couple of years. And this year, we had a lot of movement during the year. We look at the 10-year treasury as kind of the bellwether of the bond market. And with all of the gyrations that it made during the year, it started the year at 3.88, and it ended the year at 3.88. And as Pete pointed out, we were close to 5. So the 10-year treasury dropped about 110 basis points in yield from the high point to where we closed the year. That's a very significant move and positive for obviously the bond market, but also for the stock market, which kind of, I guess, leads to the question, well, why didn't we move it into positive territory? And the thing that's holding us back there is the yield curve is still inverted. The yield on the 10-year treasury is still about 150 basis points lower than the yield on the three-month bill. Now, we expect that to start to get normalized as the Fed starts to lower rates during the year. But at this point, that big inversion in the yield curve has us keeping that gauge in a neutral posture. But as Pete said, I think this, you know, from a fixed income investor standpoint, you know, these longer-term yields are pretty nice to lock in now with the likelihood that short rates are going to be moving down as the Fed starts to cut rates. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Kristen.
Great. Glenn and Pete, thank you so much for your insights, and thank you for watching. Our client portfolio management team is here to support you and your clients. Should you have any questions, please reach out to your client portfolio management team or your regional investment consultant. And don't forget to subscribe to receive our latest market insights at blog.ccmg.com. Thanks and be well.